Hey, man. Hi, my name is Mike Van Dyson. I'm from San Antonio, and I recognize a lot of you here. How many of you, this is your first conference in high school? Couple? All right. Welcome. Welcome. Amen. How many of you just got done with True School? All right. Praise the Lord. So it's like a cherry on top, huh? After a glorious summer. Amen. Get you ready for the school year. Praise the Lord. Anybody here go to the seniors conference? One? Just one? Wow. Good. I was worried I would share something that I shared there. And, you know, everybody be bored with me. So you're the only one to be bored. Praise the Lord. Okay, good. So as we just said, the outline title, the conference title actually is the vision of the church. I hope y'all appreciate this conference. This conference only comes around every 4 years because we want to give it to you once while you're in high school. It's very critical, wonderful conference to see a vision of the church, which is on God's heart. So this is really crucial. So I hope you really, you know, would pray, Lord, show me something. Show me what's on your heart. Show me the church. So if you go to page 21, have y'all seen page 21 yet? I don't know. Maybe y'all looked at that last night. Let's go to 21 there. And it kind of gives you a little summary there. Y'all there? Okay, so all the items of the church are listed there on the left. Let's just, and then over on the right, there's some verses actually in the middle, key verses, and then there's a key word on the right. So how about we read, or we'll have this side of the room do the item of the church, what the church is, and this side over here can do the key word. Like, for example, God's building, dwelling. You got it? Okay, so you ready? Right side? Dwelling, okay. Amen.
The man-child, strong. The first fruits, mature. The lampstand, shining. God's masterpiece, handiwork. The bride of Christ, loving.
Amen.
The corporate warrior, fighting. The holy city, forever.
Amen. So down here, there's some simple prayers that you can go over. We can say them together here. Maybe I'll say what the item is and y'all can do the prayer, okay? Except I'd like you to put in front of Lord, put thank you, Lord, okay? So and we've done about four of these, and we're going to do the fifth one tonight, and then the rest of the conference we'll do the rest of them. But we can go ahead and do, let's just do down to the body, okay? So you ready? I'll do the item and y'all say the prayer, but start with thank you, Lord. Okay, you ready? God's building. The one new man.
Thank you, Lord, we are uniquely one.
The household of God.
Thank you, Lord, the church is my family.
The kingdom of God.
Thank you, Lord, grow in me.
And the body of Christ.
Thank you, Lord, I am a living member.
Amen. So these are really good little prayers we can pray to respond to these messages. I wrote down another one under the kingdom, I think, today, as Ben was sharing. Lord, remember his prayer? Lord, defeat me. Don't let me win. So that's another one you can put there. There's actually several you could put for each item. Amen. You can add your own. Okay, let's turn to the outline for tonight, and it's on, guess what? The church, the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. You know, recently in the Thanksgiving conference in, where was that conference? No, was that White Plains? Oh, no, it was San Jose, sorry. Okay, in that conference, the brothers shared actually some really wonderful things about the body of Christ. And in this first, this was actually message two. I have the outline right here. It says, we may see the body of Christ as the top revelation in the Bible. The top revelation of the Bible. I think the brother also said that the biggest word in the Bible is the body. I thought, well, that's two words, but he the biggest word is the body. I said, amen, amen. The biggest word is the body. Praise the Lord. So we need the Lord to show us the body. And you know, with Paul, he saw it at one time. But with us, a lot of us anyway, including myself, it's more of a gradual thing. You see a little bit today, You'll see a little bit next year. You'll see a little bit, you know, the year after that. Maybe you've seen a little bit already. It's kind of like looking through those lattices or those slats of the blinds over there. You can maybe see a little peek here and then a little peek there. Eventually you start getting the picture. Another way you could look at it is if you go to, anybody ever been to Paris? A couple of us? Okay. Peter, have you seen Paris?
Yes.
Have you seen all of Paris?
No.
Okay, so the body's huge. It's a big revelation. So you say, oh, I've seen the body. Well, yes, you've seen something of the body, but there's more to see. Amen. It's a great revelation. Okay, so let's go. Let's read point one here. You ready? The body of Christ is the issue of the dispensing of the process. Amen. Amen. Built up with Christ's life as its element, the Spirit as its essence, and the person of God as its source. Okay, so the body of Christ is the issue. It is an issue. Even when you just pray reading that verse about the head, right? The body comes out of the head. It is the issue of the dispensing of the process Trinity. All right? So we're going to get into that. Y'all have your Bibles still? Your recovery versions? We are going to read the second longest sentence in the Bible that I know of. I counted it today, and it's 208 words long. It is a long sentence, all right? We're going to read it. And so I hope you have your Bible there. This is, the second longest. Okay, so let's look at Ephesians 1, and we'll start in verse 3. That's where the sentence starts. And the sentence goes all the way to the end of verse 14. One sentence. I don't know if anybody could even say that in one breath. Don't try it right now, but. Okay, so we're going to read it. As we're reading it, what I want you to look for is where is the dispensing? Okay, so afterwards I'm going to ask you, where is the dispensing in this sentence? Because it says here, the body of Christ is the issue of the dispensing of the process Trinity, and it's referring to this sentence right here. Okay, so let's read this sentence together. We'll kind of read it at a good clip, and then think about it as we're going, where do you see dispensing anywhere? Okay, all right, let's start. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish before him in love, predestinating us unto sonship through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, with which he graced us in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of offenses, according to the riches of his grace, which he caused to abound to us in all wisdom and prudence, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, unto the economy of the fullness of the times, to head up all things in Christ, the things in the heavens and the things on the earth in him, in whom also we were designated as an inheritance, having been predestinated according to the purpose of the one who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we should to the praise of his glory, who have first hoped in Christ, whom also, having heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in him also believing, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of the promise, who is the pledge of our inheritance unto the redemption of the acquired possession to the praise of his glory. Okay, I didn't realize it actually has a period after verse 12. Did y'all notice that? Yeah, sorry about that. So it's not 208 then. Oh, wait, I stopped at verse 12, 208. I wrote a little 208 there. Okay, well, anyway, I'll have to go back to the drawing board on counting. I think that... Is that a comma? Mine has a period. Oh, we had an update. Okay, I think y'all have the more up-to-date version. Okay, so this may actually be the longest sentence then. Because if it goes all the way to 14. Okay, anyway, praise the Lord. Hey, did y'all realize that was one sentence? Okay, now here's the question. Where is the dispensing in that sentence? Okay, if you notice, like the headings, like you have in verse, right before verse 3, the Father's selection and predestination, speaking forth God's eternal purpose. Then over verse 7, it says the Son's redemption, speaking forth the accomplishment of God's eternal purpose. And then over verse 13, it says the Spirit sealing and pledging, speaking forth the application of God's accomplished purpose. So you have the Father in the first verses, blessing us, then the Son, blessing us, speaking forth, and so forth, and then you have the Spirit's blessing, or the blessing of the Spirit. So, because he says, Paul says, blessed be the God and Father who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So these are the blessings received by the church in Christ. Where's the dispensing? Anybody got any idea? Okay, well, it says dispensing of the Trinity, of the process Trinity. So there must be a dispensing under the Father. And if you look at the verse holy, or word holy there in verse 4, chose us to be what? Okay, now let's look at the footnote for 4:3. Skip the first word there. Well, the first verse sentence is good too, sorry. Holy, let's all read it together. Holy means not only sanctified, separated unto God, but also different, distinct from everything that is common. Okay, I'm out. I am not qualified. I'm not holy. All right, let's keep reading. Only God is different, distinct from all things. Hence, he is holy. Holiness is his nature. He chose us that we should be holy. He makes us holy by imparting himself, the Holy One, into our being, that our whole being may be permeated and saturated. Okay, that's good. That's good. So do you see now? There's dispensing in his choosing you to be holy. And he predestinated us unto what? Do you know how you become a son? You have to get the life, right? We have to be regenerated. And I think that's in 5:2, footnote 5:2. Let's read... let's start reading on that, and we won't read the whole thing. Let's read a little bit of that footnote. 5:2. God's marking us out beforehand was to destine us unto sonship. We were predestinated to be the sons of God even before we were created. Hence, as God's creatures, we need to be regenerated by him that we may participate in his life to be his sons. Okay, that's good. Okay, so with the Father there, in eternity past, we have him doing what? Yep, he's choosing you. And predestinating you. Okay, so what's another prayer we could add to our little prayer? What's a prayer we could pray for that? What's a prayer you can pray? The Father predestinated you. Amen. Thank you for choosing me. Isn't that a great prayer? That is really a great prayer. I pray that prayer all the time. Even in this conference, I'm praying that prayer. Thank you, Lord, I'm here. Thank you for choosing me. Even with all these Gentiles, you know, alienated, apart from God, in the world, you know, strangers to the covenants. No hope. Brothers, sisters, that's where I was. That's where I still would be. Except God the Father chose me. Thank you, Father, for choosing me. Wow. I mean, that just is staggering. Staggering. A lot of people I know, that's they're still over there on that side of things. Thank you, Father, for choosing me. Amen. Predestinating me, regenerating me. Oh, so easy to respond to him in prayer. Okay, let's go to the Son now. Where do you see dispensing, you think, in the Son? It's a little harder in the Son, actually. Anybody got an idea? Huh? Somebody said something. No? Well, the one I got was six. Actually, it starts in verse 6. It says, with which he graced us in the beloved. Graced us. Graced us. Okay, so if you look at footnote 6:3, it says, this 6:3 is on what? Graced us. Okay. This puts us into the position of grace that we may be the object of God's grace and favor. That is, we may enjoy all that God is to us. And then, of course, he redeemed us. So we got put into Christ and we got redeemed. And he's given us, there's more riches of his grace there in verse 7. Okay. And eventually, it says, let me keep going here. Well, heading up all things in Christ is another one. Look at 10. Do we have 10:3 here underlined? Yeah, 10:3. It says here, the believers participate. It's about midway down under 10:3. Three quarters of the way. The believers participate in the heading up by being willing to be headed up in the church life, by growing in life, and by living under God's light. So we get, the Lord reigns by feeding. So if we're going to be headed up, you know how he heads us up? By feeding us, by dispensing himself. So easy to be headed up when you've enjoyed him. The other day I woke up from my nap and I was so grouchy right before the prayer meeting. I came home from work, I was so tired, I just took a quick nap. I'm just going to take a quick nap, get up for the prayer meeting. I am up and I am just like, But I'm going to go anyway. But I realize I got to stop by Whataburger. I got one of those Whataburger Junior double meat. And so by the time I got to the prayer meeting, I was in a better mood. Yeah, no problem, because I ate something. So many times we're rebellious and everything else. The real problem is we're hungry. We haven't been in the Word. We haven't been in the ministry. Maybe we haven't been in the meetings. Why are we in such a state that we're in right now? What, such a mess, spiritually speaking. Hungry. Just get some food. Amen. Okay, so there's the dispensing in the Son. So in the Son we have redemption. Okay, here's the redemption. And even transformation, brotherly includes in there. Put that under there. Because eventually it says we're designated an inheritance. So not only he's heading us up from this heap of collapse, you know, we're living in a heap of collapse. The entire universe is in a big, huge collapse. And the church is taking the lead to be headed up. Amen. And that's by us enjoying the divine dispensing. But also, he's dispensing himself into us to make us look, where did that verse about the inheritance? Verse 11, designated as an inheritance. Okay, is there anything in you think that God wants to inherit? I mean, naturally speaking, just in Adam. You got anything? You know, we are dirt. That's what we're made out of. Clay, dirt, dust, whatever. That's our body, right? And then, guess what comes out of our heart according to the Scripture and according to our experience? Evil reasonings. Murders. Fornication. All kinds of manner of garbage. Comes not outside of us coming in, but coming out from us. Okay. Is that what God wants to inherit? No. No. But you know what? Because of his choosing and his redemption and his dispensing, he has taken this earthen vessel, this vessel of worthlessness, and put into us a priceless treasure of glory. Amen. So there's something in us that's glorious. Amen. That's so wonderful that God is going to inherit it. Wow. Praise the Lord. So as earthen vessels, what should we do? How about we enjoy more of the divine dispensing? How about we let him shine more of himself into us? Amen. As you do that, you become more and more precious. You become more and more of a treasure. Amen. I remember one brother, he said, this is another good prayer to pray. Lord, be my enjoyment now so I can be your enjoyment then. Let me enjoy you today, Lord. Make me precious. I think, who was it? Daniel, I believe, was called man of preciousness. Even preciousness itself. How would you like that, Peter? One day, the Lord says, man of preciousness. How's that going to happen? By enjoying the divine dispensing. That's how. Praise the Lord. So we're being made an inheritance. Okay, then it's easy on the Spirit. Verse 13, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of the promise, who is the pledge of our inheritance. And real quickly, we can look at a footnote. 14:1. Skipping down to God gives his Holy Spirit. Did y'all find that? It's about half, not quite half the way down. God gives his Holy Spirit to us not only as a guarantee of our inheritance, securing our heritage, but also as a foretaste of what we will inherit of God, affording us a taste beforehand of the full inheritance. Amen. So with the Spirit, you know, I had a seal when I was a, so the Spirit here, of course, the Lord comes as the Spirit after resurrection. Well, I guess I should put the Spirit over here. Well, anyway, I'll just put it over here. Seal and pledge. I had a little, it was a tiny little seal, but it was a happy face. And it was one of these, you never had to wet, I don't know where the ink came from, but you just stamp it. And like stamp it on the paper, and ink would get into the paper. I don't know where the ink came from, because you could stamp it, and I did. I stamped it over and over. It was like a little red happy face. Stamp it here, stamp it there, stamp it there, stamp it, stamp it, stamp it. I had it over my hand, everywhere, and so that's that. The ink just gets in, saturate. That's the sealing. It's like a sealing or a stamping, and it's like the Spirit is within us, and He's just sealing us. You opened Him a little bit today. He puts a happy face on you. he puts Himself into you. Seal you a little bit more. Put a little bit more of the image of God into you. Right? That's dispensing. So here we have, do y'all see that now? The divine dispensing. The dispensing of the divine Trinity. Who do we have here? The Father. In the Son. As the Spirit. And what is He doing? He is dispensing. Amen. And what's His dispensing produce? You know, what do we typically put over here? Three circles, right? Okay, but today we're not going to put that. What are we going to put? His dispensing produces?
His body.
Amen. I'm going to put the church. But that's only because we have so many aspects. So we have the church as what? The body. What else? New man. All right. What else? Kingdom. Yep. His house and household. What else? His bride. Yeah, that's good. We'll get to that one tomorrow. Any more other one? Y'all could cheat and look at page 21. Got that one. There's the warrior. There's the masterpiece. And you know, it started out actually pretty small. I wish I could just draw that, like your little tiny little thing. And then eventually, as time went on and He dispensed more and more, it just grew bigger and bigger and bigger. And ultimately, what's all this going to produce? Amen. Amen. Yes, consummately. Amen. Amen. Okay, so now we are going to read the first longest sentence in the Bible that I know of. And that's 218 words. Okay, and that one starts in verse 17. Okay? So Paul, let me read you 15 through 17. I'm sorry, 15 and 16. And then we're going to start reading 17 through 23. And the object of this is to see the rest of that. The transmitting of the transcending Christ. So whenever you hear dispensing of the divine Trinity and the transmitting of the transcending Christ, think of Ephesians 1. Yes, Ephesians 1. Okay. Actually, how about we just say that phrase together? Dispensing of the process Trinity and the transmitting of the transcending Christ. Let's say that again. The dispensing of the process Trinity and the transmitting of the transcending Christ. Okay, He transcended? Christ transcended? And then He's what? Transmitting. Yes. So you see the transmitting of the transcending Christ. Right there. Okay, so now we're going to read these verses, and this is what Paul is describing. So firstly, he shows us the dispensing of the divine Trinity, or the process Trinity, and then the transmitting of the transcending Christ. Okay, now I'm going to read you 15 and 16, and basically Paul is uttering his first prayer here in Ephesians, and he is praying for the saints to get revelation. Okay, I'm going to read the little prayer, and then y'all are going to start what he's actually praying about in verse 17. You ready? Therefore, I also, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which is among you, and your love to all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Amen. 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 Okay, and I forgot to ask you to be watching for the transmission here. Where is the transmission in these verses? Did you catch the transmission? Sorry, that's my fault. Do you see the transmission? Okay, you've got it. What is it? Yeah. Amen. Amen. There you go. Toward those who, what? Toward those who believe, right? Toward those who believe. That implies the transmission. There's one more spot. Verse 22. Yes. Two gave him to be head over all things. Let's look at the footnote 22:3. Read it together. The first paragraph. To the church implies a kind of transmission. Whatever Christ, the head, has attained and obtained is transmitted to the church, his body. In this transmission, the church shares with Christ in all his attainments, the resurrection from his being seated in his transcendency. Amen. So we need to see this one. We need to see the power that God has wrought in him in raising him from the dead and seating him far above. Oh, so this is, I didn't really go through the whole diagram, but basically God, of course, in Christ, became a man. He mingled divinity and humanity. He went to the cross for us to deal with all the negative things, okay? And these negative things, you have to realize, are not just frustrations to us, but they are frustrations to him getting this, getting the church, okay? What do my sins do? You know, if you know, all the things that were crucified here, sins. Isn't it wonderful? I love him that he took away my sins. Because why? I feel bad. So then I go and, Lord, forgive me for my sin. And he cleanses me and I feel good. Isn't that wonderful? That's not really why he did that, though. He did it because my sins keep me from fellowship. Fellowshipping with him and fellowshipping with the brothers. If I just committed a sin, guess who I don't want to see? I don't want to see him and I don't want to see you. Right, I don't want to see the brothers and sisters because I'm in darkness, right? So he took away the sin of the world so he could have the church. Amen. And we could have fellowship. We could be in the light. And anyway, all the other things, the world. You know, one of the things that keeps us out of the church, out of the experience of the body, out of the one new man, out of the household. We don't want to be with the family tonight. Why? We got something going on in the world. Got to go shopping. Now I got to watch that latest YouTube, whatever. You know, the world is always, it's amazing. You give the world one inch, and before long it will be taking you out of the meetings, taking away your time in the Bible, taking away your heart for the Lord. I've seen it happen again and again in me. It's okay if I do this. It doesn't bother anybody or anything. it's okay if I get involved in that. And before long, I'm missing meetings. I'm, you know, a little harder to the Lord. I'm colder. The world is just taking us all the time out of the church. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Okay, then, so the Lord crucified the world. He did the old man.
Amen.
You know who doesn't belong in the new man?
The old.
The old man. The way to get out of the old, way to get into the new man is to get out of the old man. Right? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Anyway, of course, the Satan himself is a big frustration. All his death. I mean, anyway, so that one, that all-inclusive death was to deal with all things that keep him from accomplishing getting this corporate entity. So thank you, Lord, for your death.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for this all-inclusive termination. And of course, then he resurrected to become the life-giving spirit. And he right away imparted himself on the night of his resurrection, breathed into his disciples, said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," poured himself out on the day of Pentecost after he was enthroned. Anyway, all that power that he exhibited there and that God wrought in him, even submitting all things under his feet, heading up everything in him, is to the church. It's to the church. We need it for the church. Listen, if you see something of the church this weekend, Lord, amen.
Amen.
Get the church.
Amen.
I'm for your church.
Amen.
You know what's going to happen? You think it's going to be a rosy walk for you? That it's just going to be a bed of roses or whatever, I don't know what they call it, flower-strewn pathway all your life through? No, because there's all kinds of resistance. All kinds of resistance to the Lord getting what he's after. Right? So get ready to battle. But guess what? There's a fourfold power.
Amen.
To the church.
Amen.
When I got out of that bed on Wednesday night, I needed power. I needed a Whataburger, and I needed power. I still, even in that prayer meeting, I was sitting there, and I felt so dead. And, I mean, many times we just feel dead. And eventually, it was after a few minutes in the prayer, eventually the power started coming. Eventually, I was able to pray something. I think the other brothers felt the same way. And eventually, it's like you were saying about that airplane. Will this airplane get off the ground? We did a little bit of this, and eventually, we got up. There's power. Power to the church. And it's power to us who believe. Okay, what do you believe? Do you believe in this power? Have you seen it? You got to see it. If you see it, you can believe it. If you haven't seen it, it's hard to believe it. So, if you see, you know, God, somebody tells you, oh, you know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Okay? So you see, oh, my word, Christ is the Lamb of God. He died for me. In other words, you see him on the cross. Not physically, of course, but you see him because somebody tells you about it. Okay, so, Ben, how old were you when that happened? So you heard it, you saw it, you believed it, and then what? You receive it. Right? So you got to hear it. Somebody got to tell you, whether you read it or somebody tells you. And then you've got to, there's got to be like a revelation. Paul was praying for their eyes of their heart to be enlightened, that they could see it. Not just hear it, but see it. And then you believe it. It's transmitted to those who
believe.
Right? So we believe into the things that we see, that we heard. Okay, so these things we're talking about this weekend, you know, I know some of you guys are kind of young and everything, but it doesn't matter. But a lot of them are kind of invisible. God's dispensing? Where's that? You know? The Spirit? Where's he? You know, he's invisible. The triune God is invisible. Right? The Spirit's invisible. His dispensing is invisible. His transmission is invisible. The body, in a sense, is invisible. I mean, we can see the outward frame, but the reality of the body of Christ, somewhat invisible. How are we going to ever, you know, access that, or enter into that, become that, build that up? How are you going to do that? You got to believe.
Amen.
And before you can believe, you got to see. Right? Okay, so I had this little illustration. I don't know. I've been thinking about it for a while, and it may not work. So y'all are the guinea pig. Y'all can tell me if it works or not. Okay. On this desk here, we have something. Actually, it could be nothing, but I'm telling you there's something there under that napkin. Okay. There's something under that napkin there. And hopefully nobody can see it. Y'all can't see it, can you? Well, there's nothing there. Anyway. Okay. So What do you believe it is? Okay, some people believe it's nothing. Well, that's very possible. It could just be a little hump in the napkin there. Okay, and then Zeke, what do you think it is? Yeah. Tell me what it is. An apple, really? Yeah, tell me about it. How? Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you believe him? Wow. I asked Zeke to sell y'all on that it was an apple. Okay, and I'm gonna tell you it's an orange. It's an orange. It's orange. It's round like a ball. Smells like an orange. Okay, so we have three now opinions on what's under there. Right? Nothing. We have apple. Who believes the apple? Who believes nothing? Okay, one. Only one? Two? Okay. Who believes it's an orange? Of course, we had oranges for dinner, so, you know. Okay, so guess what it is? Oh, it's an orange. Okay, so there really was an orange under the napkin. There was a reality to what we're talking about here. So one of us was telling you the truth, right? And this is exactly the way it is today. Like, you're getting ready to go to college, some of you, and people have all kinds of things to say about God. Well, God is this. Oh, some people say there's no God. There is no God. Some people say he's this. Some people say he's that. Some people say he's the other. But you know what? There is a reality. Just like there's an orange here on the table, there is a triune God. There really is. And the brothers and sisters, you know, are faithful to describe to us. And, well, actually, it's the Word of God. The Word of God describes to us the triune God. His process, his dispensing, his transmission to produce his body. So if we hear it, we see it, we believe it, and we enter into it. It's that easy. It's just like the orange. Of course, now we could eat it, you know. So that's how when you pray these prayers, you pray them because you heard it, you see it, and you're just receiving it. That's why I like to add the thank you. You say thank you, it's a receiving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, I'm a member. Thank you, I'm a stone. Build me in. I receive it. I receive all that you're unveiling, all that you're giving. Okay, so the body of Christ is a reality. Let's go on to point two. I know y'all are getting worried. There's like, God, he took so long on point one. I don't know how we're ever going to get through. Okay, so let's read point two here. You ready? The body of Christ. It is an organism of the triune God. Amen. Okay, and we'll have this little group over here, maybe in the wedge too. Y'all can read the verses in Ephesians 4. You ready? One body and one spirit. Okay, so, it's not an organization. It is an organism. Yes, it is an organism. It's alive. Praise the Lord. What's the main thing you need with an organism? What's the difference between, because you can go over there to China now, they can produce almost anything. You can produce a flower. Looks just like a flower. In fact, this one lady, she had these orchids. And I could have sworn that was a real orchid. Oh, your orchids are so beautiful. We have such a hard time, you know. We have such a hard time with those. My wife kills them all. You know, I mean, well, she just, anyway. And eventually, she's like, oh, thank you. Da, da, da. Eventually, I found out they're fake. Oh, that's the way to raise orchids. You know? Okay, so you could have a fake orchid made in China here, and you have a real orchid. Okay, what's the difference? Yeah, you know, the or, the or, organism, the real one, it does have some organization to it, right? I mean, my body has some organization, but it's mainly an organism, and it needs life, right? Every day. So, if we see the body, if we see the church as the body of Christ, what do you think we're going to care for? Life. I come to the meeting with the brothers. What do we need? What's our need tonight? Praise the Lord. Why? Because we're part of an organism. And, you know, I realized when I was very young, you know, I can make a difference to the meeting. If I'm, you know, been exercising my spirit, if I've been, you know, enjoying the Lord during my day and I come to the home meeting, you know what happens? Home meeting goes up a little bit. If I come to the home meeting and I'm all dead and flat, well, it's that most may still go up, but it's not because of me. You know what I'm saying? So I realize I make a difference. My enjoyment of the Lord makes a difference because I bring life to the meeting. Same with the prayer meeting. If you exercise, you know, during your day and before the meeting, you go to the prayer meeting, what happens? You have a positive impact. Lord, I'm for your body. What does that mean? I need to take care of life. Right? And it is a reality. You know, this one sister, she was over there in, I think she was in the Far East. One of the brothers knew her. And she had an experience of all of a sudden, for 4 months, being just so close to the Lord, so filled with life. And she is like going, what is going on? And later on, she reads about this revival going on across the earth in Wales. The Welsh revival was going on. And later on, she read about it in the newspaper, about this revival that was happening or had happened. And she goes, oh, that's why. In other words, she's all the way around the world, and she's, you know, experiencing life. Life is reaching her from Wales. Back then, I don't think they had internet or anything like that, right? It wasn't coming through the telephone line. It was coming through the Spirit.
Amen.
So the body of Christ is a reality. Okay, let's read point three. You ready? The economy is to produce a body for his son. Amen. So God's economy, that's what we saw here on the board, is to produce a body for his son, and this body fulfills his desire for his expression, like Obi shared this morning, and the destruction of Satan. Paul told the Roman, the church in Rome, the God of peace himself will soon crush Satan under your feet shortly. Amen. Okay, how about we have this group and the wedge. Y'all read Romans 12, 4 through 5. You ready? Go. Amen. That's the one we pray read, right? So we who are many are one body in Christ. And like I said, this seeing the body is a little by little thing. One day I was leaving a meeting, and I was in my car by myself, and I was just thinking about what had been spoken, and I mean it was like the heavens opened, and I saw so clearly. Something related to God, his purpose, and actually I don't even really remember what I saw because this was years ago, but I just remember this realization I had. I realized that man, that brother that speaks, he just spoke, and I'm leaving the meeting and I see. Okay, it just hit me. He speaks and I see. He speaks and I see. What does that mean? That means he is eyes to me. I don't see by myself. I go through my daily life, I see nothing. Okay? But I listen to this brother for 15, 20 minutes, and I see. He's my eye. He sees. He's an eye. Right? That's what it talks about in this section. Not everybody's an eye, not everybody's an ear, you know. So, he is eyes to me. I don't know what I am, but I know when he speaks, I see. That was a big revelation. That was like a little glimpse of the body. A little glimpse. Listen, do you know what that means? Do you know what that means? That everything of every member is mine. Because I'm a member. So you're an eye, I get your sight. You're an ear, I get what you hear. You're a nose, I get your discernment, your smell. I don't have to have it myself. I just receive from all the other members. I realize I am rich. I am so wealthy. I have all of y'all's function. It's all mine. Actually, it's all the bodies, right? But we're in the body, so we get it all. Oh, and that just is such a release. I don't have to be an eye. And I don't have to be an ear. And I don't have to be a nose. I can be what I am. I don't have to be like you. Right? I mean, I was listening to Obi share this morning. I'm like, I want to be like Obi. And I want to be like Ben. I really enjoy all the brothers sharing. But you know what? I'm never going to be like them. Just forget it. Just receive. I just enjoy. I enjoy when Obi shares. I enjoy it when Ben shares. I enjoy when all the brothers share. Right? Praise the Lord. All their function, I get to receive. You know, there's so many functions, because that's a little ethereal, you know, eye and ear and all that. But if you read like Romans 12, 6 through 8, it talks about prophesy, those who prophesy, and then there's service, and there's teaching, there's exhorting. You know, I know a brother, he is an exhorter. He exhorts people, and I cannot exhort people. If I exhort you, you'll probably just get mad at me. It just doesn't come out right when I try to exhort people. But this brother has a way. It is the strangest thing. He can exhort you and you just feel love and you feel encouragement. But at the same time, you got a word of exhortation. And I'm like, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that brother. And then giving. Those who give out of simplicity. Let's read these verses real quick if you still got your Bible there. 12, it's right after 12, 4 through 5. It's 6 through 8. Because these are just some of the functions that come out. Actually, in 1 Corinthians, he talks about manifestations of the Spirit for profit. So who knows what the Spirit's going to do in you, but he will do something for his body. Whatever he does, it'll be for his body. Okay, let's look at y'all ready? So we just read 5, which says, so that we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Okay, so starting in verse 6, and we'll read to verse 8. You ready? Go. And having gifts... Amen. 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 That's good. You know, this giving, you know, to be a giver is one thing. To be a recipient is a little bit harder, especially for us Americans. We don't like to receive things from people. We just want to, you know, if you need a handout or help, I'll help you. But for me to admit that I need help, you know, I don't want to admit to anybody I need help, right? So a lot of times I don't get any help because I don't ask for it. That's one brother, he asks for help all the time. I realize, you know what, he's the most blessed brother. Every time he asks me, I'm always willing to help him, you know? I give him fellowship. I pray for him. You know, help him practically, whatever. And why? Because he asked for it. I'm like, I'm so poor because I never asked for help. This is the meaning of fellowship. The fellowship is to ask for help. Open up. Ask for what you need. I need help. I'm having this problem. I need the direction in this area. And when you do that, guess what? If you open to the body, you will get the help. Don't be poor like me. Be rich like that brother. But also giving, you know, there's been a number of times in my life, like we were, I've been blessed by giving brothers and sisters. They gave. We got in a situation. We had twins, and we already had a 1.5-year-old. Now we got two little babies, you know. My wife had a C-section. we're in dire straits there. We needed help. Guess who helped us? The body. You know, I was like, okay, the other day my son Christopher, he moved off to California, Mountain View, to work at Google. We're packing him up and everything, and there's a lot of busyness. And then he's driving off, and I was so sad. I started thinking of him from, you know, kindergarten to first grade, and just all these little images started coming to me of his whole life. And I just got a little choked up as I was watching him. Anyway, today I was thinking about the body, and I was thinking, you know what? It's kind of like that, too. If I think of my life, it's like the body is everywhere. If you look at my Christian life, the body is everywhere. You know, if you look at the Lord's life, have you ever thought about it? Because he says the angels of God will ascend and descend on the Son of Man. Guess who was there at the announcement of his birth? The angel. Who was there at his birth? Angels. Who was there? I mean, in the wilderness, you know, he was tempted. There were angels that came and strengthened him. You know, at the cross, there were some angels. Resurrection, angels. You know, I think ascension, there was an angel. Anyway, angels everywhere. Okay, well, I was thinking of my life. You know what's been everywhere? The body. Okay, my freshman year, I did terrible in college. I was not in the church life at that point. I was kind of in a very bad situation. Didn't do so well my freshman year. I prayed to God to help me, save me. Not from hell, but save me practically. Do you know who I met the very next semester at campus? Okay, I'm praying to God. I'm praying to God. And I meant it. God, please help me. I'm in a real mess. I called out. Guess who came to me? The body. Yeah, the body. I prayed to God, but he came to me as the body. He came to me in a brother. Okay, I can just go. It's almost like step by step by step by step. Everything. The body is always there. Amen. Just think about it. You know, when I wanted to get a degree, I didn't know what to do. I tried the thing of putting all the names in the hat. I mean, all the careers in the hat and praying and pulling something out. And eventually I pulled out nursing. I don't want to be a nurse. That's the only thing that I wouldn't have done, you know. And I just couldn't stomach that one, so I threw the whole thing in the trash. Okay. Then I'm fellowshipping with a brother, and it just became clear to me what I needed to do. My degree. It all got cleared up one day. He didn't even mean to do it. He was just moaning and groaning about his economics degree and telling me what he should have done. And then I'm like, oh, it sounds good. I think I'll do that. So the body helped me decide on what I should major in. Did. And then, you know, who I married, it's all related to the body. If I tell my kids, if it wasn't for the body, you wouldn't even be born. Did you know that there were two brothers went out one day in one semester. Y'all haven't got to college yet, but you know, it's kind of optional whether you participate in a lot of things. But so nobody was putting out our Christians on campus table that semester at all. It didn't go out at all, except for one day. It went out one day that whole semester. And the two brothers put it out there for one day. I don't even know why they did it. Just got a, what's it called? A wild hair. Wild hair. We're going to put out the table. They put out the table on the campus. And guess who came up to the table that day? My wife. She came to the table that one day, then came to the Bible study. And before long, she was in the church life. And then, you know, anyway, the rest is history. Actually, not quite, because in order to get married, I needed the body. You know, I was not the most attractive young brother. Well, I mean, I felt like I was, but I wore like, I was very simple back then. I realized all I need is, I don't know if y'all have ever seen that full-timer that they have there. It has the blue pants, the white shirt, and they used to have like a little mannequin in Taiwan. Did you ever see that, the mannequin? Well, it's a mannequin dressed like, anyway, you know, with all the full-timer outfit on it. Well, that's basically how I looked every single day. Every single day I wore blue polyester pants, black belt, and then a white shirt. Okay, is that going to attract too many sisters? Well, I didn't know that, but anyway. Needless to say, I gave a lot of testimonies about my temper, you know, I slammed the pickle jar into the refrigerator and it blew up. And so I didn't realize that, but I was like thwarting my chances of getting any. Because my wife thought, that guy's really got a temper. I really didn't, but I would just give those testimonies. Anyway, wasn't very smart. Okay, so I had an interest in Betty, and I went in fellowship with a brother. And actually, it was his wife that helped me, because she told me, we got to go to the store. You need a new wardrobe. And she got me 3 outfits, you know, shirt, pants, you know, that match very nicely, and dressed me up. And so from then on, I began going to the meeting. I looked different. So if you're gonna catch a fish, you gotta use the right bait. So the anyway, so the sister helped me in the body. She gently helped me to become a better lure. Yeah. And then the wedding. Okay, we're getting ready for the wedding. We're 2 young people, never done this before. We don't know anything. We never planned anything, done an event, anything like that. And all of a sudden you find out, man, everything related to weddings is super expensive. You're going to get food, and you get this little tiny little weenie or whatever. And it, you know, a lot of money, very expensive. Wasn't worth it, in other words, you know. And so we're having trouble. We finally found a venue, but then we can't get this food thing together and whatnot. Anyway, we opened. She opened especially to the sisters. And man, they just took off with it. Took care of everything. It was like a feast. All this food, all the flowers, everything looked so nice. This food, I mean, it was just wonderful. Very, very inexpensive. And they just took care of it. Yeah, the body. I mean, the body has just, I mean, I was even serving here, being here, it's been so nice, all these saints serving, you know, taking care of us. We're really in the hands of the body. Anyway, since I could just go on, you know, with story after story there. You know, one time I was kind of down as a full-timer, and I just needed some encouragement. I think the Lord knew. And one day I get this call, and I mean, I'm driving an old beat-up piece of junk. And I get this call, and somebody donated a vehicle for me. I'm like, what? A vehicle? Of course, right away, I'm like, what kind of vehicle? I hope it's not one like I'm driving right now. Oh, man, it was a nice truck, 4-wheel drive. Anyway, just like one, you know, I would dream of. And what a cherishing that was. The Lord took care of me in that period of time. You know, another time I was kind of down and a little bit out there, and it was amazing the brothers that came to take care of me. It was brothers I would have never have expected. You know, even brothers I had maybe kind of secretly despised a little bit. My brother, all he does is want to go hunting and fishing, and, you know, where's he? He's never in the meetings or whatever. And guess who took care of me when I'm down and out? Yeah, took me hunting, took me fishing. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So I really owe a debt of gratitude to that brother and many other brothers as well. You know, it's just the Lord in the body. You know, one time, I just give you another little quick story. This is a funny one. I'm, you know, serving. I didn't have very much money. You know, I got to take care of the family and everything. And so I was out. Having morning revival, I did tell this story, I think. Anyway, sorry if you heard it before, but I was going on morning revival, and but inwardly I'm thinking about money. So I'm supposed to be, you know, calling on the Lord and everything, and I'm thinking about money. So I just decided, Lord, I'm going to open up to you about what I'm thinking about. I said, Lord, I need some money. Please let me find a bag of money. And so I asked for, you know, the Lord to give me a bag of money. I was hoping to find it on the street. You know, I did find a $100 bill one time to have morning revival. Found it on the side of the road. Praise the Lord. But okay, guess what? Later that day, I didn't find the bag of money. But a brother gave me $1,000. $1,000. Okay, that night, I was thinking back, and I'm like, you know, this morning I prayed for a bag of money. And the brother gave me $1,000. I mean, I'm expecting God to do something kind of miraculous, you know, and the Lord came through the body. Isn't that something? You know, even for this conference, I did not do a very good job preparing. And I was very nervous. You know, I was hoping to get some, you know, listen to some messages and stuff on the way here and really get prepared. And it was, the traffic was a nightmare, and I was just, you know, it was not a good preparing type car ride. I ended up in the boonies and everything like that. Even Google told me to do a U-turn. I'm out in the middle of nowhere, and it says, do a U-turn. Since when does Google tell you to do a U-turn and just go back the way you came? It's very strange. It was a really hard trip. So anyway, I'm there. Okay, this brother that I have not seen or talked to in probably at least a year, but I mean, I rarely talk to him. He doesn't even live in my state. He sends me a text this morning. He doesn't even know I'm sharing in this conference. He sends me a text this morning related to something that we've gotten into in the past related to the body. And I was like, brother, do you know that I'm in this conference and I'm sharing tonight on the body? I mean, it was amazing. It was like the Lord, through this brother, who's not even in this state and doesn't even know what I'm doing, he sends me a text on exactly the day that I need to hear this fellowship. Thank you, Lord, for the body. Amen. Anyway, saints, we are so blessed to be in the body. If we see the body, we'll be like Paul there in point four, captured, constrained, and captivated for our whole life. Basically, our whole life will be for the body. Amen. And actually, this is what the Lord needs today in this final move is some that will build up the body of Christ. This is what's going to bring him back. So anyway, I think that's it for me. I think Zeke has some fellowship. Sorry, Zeke. You don't have to cover those points there.
Yeah, I don't know what to share now. That was awesome. That was cherishing. I'm sorry. You don't know how much I love Mike. In fellowshipping with Mike, I thought I would cover the last 3 points, but I have one thing that's kind of coming up in me that maybe I'll just kind of just cover it like as a burden based on these points, mainly on Roman numeral 9 and 10. So maybe we could just read those together. So let's go. In the whole universe, the body of Christ is uniquely one. And then 10. And I think the burden in me is that, you know, the body of Christ, everything of God's heart's desire is towards that. Right? It's towards the body. It's to the church. All this right here. I mean, think about everything that transpired from eternity past to this point. All towards the church. Towards the body. The kingdom, the bride, the body, the new man, his masterpiece. It's all in one direction. It's towards the body. Amen. We need to be diligent to keep the oneness. Amen. We need to be diligent to care for that. Amen. What is God's heart's desire? The church. Yeah. His body, right? What is our heart's desire? And I want to get a little bit even more practical. Do you realize that the sister sitting next to you is a member of that body that the Lord loves so much? Do you realize that that serving one that you love is a member of this body? Do you realize that serving one that you do not love is also a member of this body? Do you realize that the brother you may despise or even the sister you may despise is a member of this body? Actually, you know, this word be diligent, it really implies an effort. And sometimes when it comes down to the practicality in the body life, we find out, oh, maybe we're too natural. Maybe we're too much this way, too much that way. Actually, there's a couple of points here I wanted to read under Roman numeral 9. Read F. That's not what the body is. That's an organization. And sometimes in the church life, we have little groups. They begin to kind of develop mainly around what? Culture, race, natural affinity. That natural affinity is a big one. Okay? And we have to be careful, sisters. We have to be careful because the Lord loves the body. He doesn't love the really smart members of the body or the really cool members of the body. He loves the body. And everything that he's done, the triune God in all of his, that is the economy of God right there. Right? That is his economy. It's all to the church, his body. I wanted to read, and we'll conclude here, 1 Corinthians 12, 19 through 25. Those verses are not listed there for you, but I think they're actually quite meaningful. So how about we read those together? So you have to open your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 19 through 25. And for the sake of time, if you have it, let's go. And if we, where would the body be? But now the members are many, but one cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you, but much rather the members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. And those members of the body with whose we clothe with more abundant honor, and our uncomely members come to have more abundant comeliness. But our comely members have no need. But God has blended the body together, giving more abundant honor to the members that lack. So, but that the members would have the same care for one another. So let's stop. Let's go ahead and stop there. You know, these verses are so strong here, that we need to care for the members of the body. And I think sometimes we tend to give the comely members more honor, just naturally. Maybe you see a brother sharing or something, and you tend to give him more honor. He's a brother who shares. That's not what the word says here. It says to give the uncomely member more honor. And sometimes we think that the brother or sister who's front and center, that they're the ones that are supplying the body or the one that can meet your need. If only that brother would share a word that could meet my need. And we don't look for the one that seems to be weaker. And see, the body, it's a mystery. And what member is going to meet that need, we don't know. It could be that one that you never hear from, but they're praying for you. They're praying for you. Maybe you don't even know that sister's name, but she knows your mom, and your mom has shared with her your situation, and she's there just praying and praying because for some reason you just keep coming up in her heart. And you're getting a supply, and you're thinking, what's like that testimony you shared? You're thinking, wow, this is so awesome. But it's because that sister who you don't even know has been praying for you. So I'll share with you a quick testimony, and I'll try to make it really fast. So I was in college, and I wasn't doing so great. I was not going on with the Lord. Matter of fact, I was, I had kind of chosen the world, you could say. And all of a sudden, all these things start happening in my life. Things start, turmoil here, frustration there, run into a brother over here, really start causing me to consider, what am I doing with my life? Run into another brother over here. He's preaching the gospel. Then I start thinking, oh my goodness, the Lord's going to come back, and he's going to take that brother, but he's not going to take me. I'm not ready. all these things just started transpiring, one after the other after the other. Okay, fast forward. The Lord really had a big turn to me, or I had a big turn to the Lord. The Lord softened my heart. I had a big change in the people that I was hanging out with. And then I end up going to the full-time training. Okay, I'm going really fast here, okay? A lot of stuff happened, but in all this working of the Lord led me to go to the full-time training. So I'm in the full-time training, enjoying the Lord, having this great experience, and I'm driving. There's four people in my car, and one of them is a sister in the back seat, and we were driving probably to campus or something like that. And she says, we were talking about something, and then she said, "I prayed for you." Really? Yeah. There is this brother. When I was in college, and she and I are the same age, so she was in college at the same time. She's like, "There was this brother when I was in college." And by the way, this brother, if I were to say his name right now, none of you, except for maybe Matt, would say, oh, and Mike would say, "Oh, brother, that brother." But he's just a small member. Nobody knows. Nobody even knows him. He stood up in the prayer meeting when my experience was going down. He stood up in the prayer meeting and said, "Can we pray for this brother? I've been," and he had been visiting me. He had been going over to my house, and he would just go visit me, try and get me to read a little ministry, talk to me a little bit. Half the time when he came over, he was so tired he would fall asleep while I was talking. Literally. We would read a portion of the ministry, and I'd finish my paragraph, and I'd look over at him, and he was like. And I would try to gently wake him up, you know, and then he would talk to me, and I could just see his eyes. Because he was coming from work, a long day of work, just to come visit me. He stood up in the prayer meeting and said, "Can we pray for Zeke? He's not doing so well." And the church began to pray for me. Now, that's when he stood up and said that. I believe he was probably praying for me a lot during those years. And so she began to tell me that testimony. Then I run in, and then I hear from another sister who was in another state at the time. "Hey, you're in the full-time training? Oh my goodness, I prayed for you." Okay, just uncomely. Seems to be weaker. He wasn't a full-timer, but he was praying for me. So we need to be careful, brothers, sisters, and us brothers. We need to be careful in our assessment of the body and of the members of the body. We just need to love all the members. Amen. And thank the Lord that he placed us in his body. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, I think we have a little time for some overflow. Okay, so let's have some sharing and then we'll go from there. You guys pass this one? Who wants to go first? It's on.
I really... Okay, I really enjoyed the part, it was relating to this morning. I don't remember exactly which meeting it was, but how we are all a family, like how we're all part of the household. We're also all part of the body, and not one part of the body cannot function without the others. You can't have a head without a body, and you can't have an arm without a torso, and you can't have anything without something else. So we're all connected in that way, and I don't know, I just like that.
I really enjoyed this verse and pray reading this verse. Colossians 2:19. "And not holding the head, out from whom all the body being richly supplied and knit together by means of the joints and sinews, grows with the growth of God."
Amen.
Amen. We are members of the body. I just want to reiterate something Brother Mike said, which is that it matters if we are functioning in the meetings, right? We're all members one of another. And so if one member isn't functioning, there's something wrong, right? So it's just so important to remember we are members one of another. And so in the meetings, we need one another's function. Amen. I really enjoyed where he was talking about a brother was sharing and he kind of opened his eyes how, like, we're all part of the body and we're all different parts of the body. So I could be someone's eyes or nose, but someone else could be my ears or even my mouth. And just we all fit together, and we're not a machine, we're a body. Amen. And it's just this living, breathing thing that Amen. Everybody fits together. So.
Amen.
Just really quickly, I guess one thing that the brothers said, it was just a prayer that he heard from another brother, I think, which was, Lord, don't let me win, yeah. or Lord, always or constantly defeat me. Yeah. And that's kind of hard for me to hear because I always like to win, and I never like to be defeated. So it's never, Lord, your will be done. It's always, Lord, help me do this, or Lord, let me do this, or Lord, please let me do this. And it's really hard for me just to basically put myself down so he can work through me.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
so I just constantly yeah. need to say, Lord, just defeat me all the time.
Amen.
Okay, so I really enjoyed a part where I was really talking about how the whole body as a community, what we really need to do is we can depend on one each other. We don't have to try to be everything. We can depend on one another to be our other parts. So, yeah.
I really enjoyed how everything of every member is mine. Because, you know, I feel like everyone, we all enjoy the Lord in different ways at different times. You know, sometimes maybe I touch the Lord by learning how to drink of him and someone learns how to eat of him. And when you think about it, most of the time your enjoyment comes from hearing other people's enjoyments, whether that's through the brother sharing or just through talking to another sister about what you enjoyed from a conference. And so it's so important to share, even if you feel like maybe it's not going to touch them. Later down the line, it can in a different way. And
So going back earlier today in the morning, when the brother was talking about how we are citizens in God's kingdom, and mm-hmm. when we're citizens, we have these rights.
Right.
And just I was thinking mm-hmm. about it, and our rights can include confessing and then using the blood of Christ and then God being able to forgive us and all that. And just like growing up in the church life, I've kind of like taken that for granted. I haven't really appreciated it as much because I didn't really realize that people who didn't believe in God, who were unbelievers, didn't have access to those rights. They didn't have the blood of Christ to wash away the sins that they have committed. So I really appreciate the rights that we have.
Amen. Amen. I really enjoyed seeing that the church is the one new man.
Amen.
And I really enjoyed that this one new man, it's a corporate one new man. And I loved this verse, Genesis 1:26. This man, the Lord said, let them have dominion. Amen. You know, it's not singular, it's not alone. And this one new man, this church, is God's home. This is where God wants to make his home in our hearts.
Amen.
And I really enjoyed reading from the little book as well, how when we're homeless, God is homeless too, and like how the Lord desires a home.
Amen.
And it was really funny because for the past other than last night, for the past 3 days, I'd been sleeping at airports. And so I slept in, like, a food court, and I slept, like, on a bench. And then one night, I remember I woke up the next morning, and, like, 5 feet to my right, there's a homeless man. And I was like, oh, Lord. And it was, so I really, last night was, like, the best night's sleep I had gotten in such a long time. And I just realized that it honestly wasn't, I mean, at first I thought, yes, it's because I have a real pillow and it's like I have a real mattress. But no, I honestly, it was because I was back with the saints and back in the body of Christ. And this body of Christ, this is our home. This is our real home. We don't need a soft, comfy pillow and a nice bed. We need the saints and we need our church life and our family. Amen.
This message on the body. So I'm a worker, so I'm not in high school, but in college they asked Brother Peter if he'd been to Paris, and he's been to Paris, but he hasn't seen all of Paris. So I haven't seen all of the body, but that's been one of my prayers, because I know it's very important to see the body, the church. So anyway, I just want to testify, the body is awesome. So this thing about having different functions, and then about fellowship is asking for help. So I also, I guess I have too much pride, and I like to give help, but I don't really like to ask for help. But anyway, there's a few sisters that I've opened to in college to ask for help for real fellowship. And those members, they're everything. They're my eyes, they're my ears, they're all these things. Yeah. And they help me. And like even one time concerning this matter, I was like, how can I function if I don't even know what my function is? And this sister was totally my eyes, or I don't even know. Anyway, she was like, she told me, she's like, you have like this. And I was like, wow. Like, anyway, you just get so much help from the body. So that's like the positive side. And then on the negative side, there's no negative side of the body. But anyway, so like, you know, the members you may not like are still members of the body.
Right.
And so even the sister, I complain. And she's like, you know, Satan just wants to get between you. Like, it's not even this other member. It's just the division. Like, you need to love this one.
Amen.
And then another sister, practically, she was like, you need to tell me next week 3 things you like about this sister. Like, just, you know, because there's so much next to me. But anyway, and so I realized, you know, the things I saw that I liked about her was just a different function from me. So anyway, the body is wonderful, and we have many members, and you get to see this more.
Amen.